Next Move Group, the voice of economic development.
Hello, I'm Chad Chancellor, co-founder of Next Move Group. And in this video, we're going to talk about tips for following up with prospect leads, and we're going to differentiate them based on how you got the prospect. Was it from a consultant? Was it from generated yourself from the state or so forth? So for our members, we actually had a Zoom meetup last month, and the members told us they wanted this video. So thank you for asking for it. It was a whole lot of fun to put together. So let's start with just talking about how important follow-up is. So follow-up is really where all sales are made. And at the end of the day, if you're going to land an industry in your town, you're in a sales-related type position. So a lot of people say the fortune is in the follow-up. But look at these statistics down here. 2% of sales are made on the first contact. 3% of sales are made on the second contact. 5% on the third, 10% to fourth. 80% are made on the fifth to 12th contact. So as you think about sales, think about prospect visits. That's how I want most of you to really think about this. It may take you reaching out to a prospect 5 to 12 times to get a prospect visit. Down here, you'll see 48% of salespeople never follow up a single time, 25% only follow up two times, and only 12% make more than three follow-ups. Yet statistics tell us you got to follow up 5 to 12 times to make a sale. So what we're going to get in today is how do you follow up with certain people? So first of all, a few key ideas. Number one, follow up is more art than science. So we're going to sort of show you today ratios, formulas you ought to do, email them today, call them tomorrow, this type of stuff. But it really is more art than science. And the more you do it, the better you'll get good at it. Nothing can replace building these habits. So what you want to do is build habits for following up, and you must follow up more times than your gut thinks. Chances are, if you call somebody twice or email them twice, you start thinking, oh, am I bothering this person? You've got to follow up more times than your gut thinks. 90% of people don't follow up enough, which means you've got to follow up more than your gut thinks. Now, will you annoy some people? Yes. We're going to show you in here who it's okay to annoy, and we're going to talk about who you don't need to annoy as well. So when you're following up with people, as we get into this, we're going to talk about different folks that you follow up with different things to say. But let's start right here. What are some good items to follow up with, no matter you know, what the subject is, I guess, or what type prospect? Well, anytime you have a plant closure, you need to let people know that. You need to follow up with everybody because that's going to create available labor. That's going to create an available building most of the time. So let people know that. Anytime you land a new industry, that's something good to follow up with because that can show momentum. If you have a new incentive program, that is good to include in your follow-up. If you have anything that's made your labor force change, that's good. Short videos are good. Podcasts, testimonials from plant managers or HR managers. If you're developing a new industrial park or you got a vacant industrial building, that's good for follow-up. And also you want to use time as leverage. And I'm going to give you some examples in here of how I've done that in my career. But these are all ideas of things you can use in your follow-up other than just calling somebody and saying, hey, just wanted to check in. So let's start with really thinking about your prospect leads in four different segments because all four segments really require a different methodology for follow-up. Some of it's the same, but some of it is different. So the first thing we're going to talk about, and these are the most common type prospect leads that economic developers will have. So number one are what I call suspects. These are companies that you suspect have interest in your area, but you have yet to hear from them, so you can't prove it. But you've got some kind of intelligence that they're interested in your area. Either it's online intelligence, they keep hitting your website over and over. Maybe they're clicking your emails that you're sending. Or you've got word of mouth intelligence. Somebody has told you. Maybe a real estate agent told you that, you know, they're looking around. Whatever the case, these are called suspects. You suspect they're interested, but you can't prove it yet. We're going to show you how to follow up with them. Second are consultant-led projects. We're going to show you how to follow up with them. So those are projects that come straight to you from a consultant, not through the state or the utility. Number three are projects that come from the state or utility in which you've responded to an RFI. And number four, prospects which you generated directly. Maybe you paid for lead generation meetings, prospect called you, you visited with them. That's number four. So all four of these really require different type follow-ups. So first of all, let's talk about suspects. So these are people you think are interested because of your online intelligence or your word of mouth intelligence, but you have had no communications with them, or they haven't, you've had no two-way communication. Maybe you've reached out to them. They have not reached out to you. So for these people, you really want to keep these sales statistics in mind because these are suspects. You don't know if they're interested or not. You got to fish them into being interested. You may have to contact them 5 to 12 times based on these statistics. So it's okay to annoy these people. Remember I said you probably got to follow up more than you think. It is okay to annoy suspects because if they're coming to town and they don't want you to know anyway, then you're not going to run them off. You know, they just don't want your help. If they're not coming to town, what's that going to hurt? It's okay to annoy these people. That may generate you a prospect one day. If nothing else, they're seeing your brand. They're telling other people about you. You lose nothing by annoying these people. Now, in a minute, we're going to talk about consultants. You don't want to annoy consultants. So that's the difference in the follow-up. Annoying these people, you can email these people every day. Now, I don't recommend that, but you could and it wouldn't hurt anything. If you get 1 out of 100 that comes to your town, you've generated a real prospect. If you land 1 out of 100, you've created real jobs for your citizens. So for the suspects, what we recommend first is to try to add these people on LinkedIn, then message them on LinkedIn. Message them on LinkedIn. That can be an easier way to message than through email. Then put your normal communications on LinkedIn, your newsletters, your podcasts, your videos, all these type of things. And then this person, if they've added you as a friend, even if they've never talked to you, they're going to start seeing your brand. They might eventually reach out to you. Also, go into LinkedIn, and it'll tell you if you're a second connection of somebody or a third connection. You know, they say we're all connected to each other, 6 or 7 lines. I can't remember how many. Go in there and see if you're a second connection, who you have that can introduce you to this person. Or if you got somebody that you're friends with and you're not that close to them, you don't want to ask them for an introduction, name drop them in your email. Say, I see that we both know so-and-so. I would like to meet with you, or I'd like to talk to you. I've got something of value to you. So look on LinkedIn to see if there's anybody that you can use for that. Now, this is something that I found online from Lead Simple that recommends how to contact suspects. From the first time you think they're a suspect, this is how it recommends you do it. Now, this is going to seem overwhelming, but you can set this up to be automated, especially the emails. The call's not as easy, but you can set them up to be automated. But Lead Simple talks about a 10-touch, 20-day model. So you want to touch a suspect 10 times in 20 days. So on day one, as soon as you find out they're a suspect, maybe you've got the lead tracker that shows you that they hit your website. Call them. 15 minutes later, email them. 30 minutes after that, call them on day one, right out of the bat. On day three, call them again. On day four, email them. On day eight, email them and call them. Then wait till day 14, call them. Day 15, email. Day 20, email. And then what we recommend is after this, email or call once a month. If you do this 10-touch, 20-day model and they don't respond, don't do it again. Just make sure you set your system up. You can set your emails up to be automated. Make sure you set your system up to email them once a month. Now, this is what you want to do with suspects. You for sure don't want to call a consultant this many times. You're going to make them mad. So understand that. But if you're doing email marketing or you've got the caller ID web hit tracker, this is what you want to do. You can use MailChimp. That's what we use to set up all these emails automated. So you got to set up 1, 2, 3, 4, only 5 emails. So you tell MailChimp, this is what I want you to send the first day, then 4, 8, 15, and 20. And you'd make these slightly different. We'll talk about that in just a minute. You can even use Upwork for your phone calls. We use Upwork within our office. It costs us $15 an hour. They make our phone calls. So we've got this totally automated ourselves. You don't have to do that, or you can if you want to. It's according to how many suspects you get as to whether or not I would do this all out. Now, if you have unique strengths, maybe you need to call more or email more. What do I mean by that? Well, people respond to my accent. I don't know why. I'm not trying to be cocky. I'm not trying to be arrogant. It's just all my life, people have responded to my accent. Every time I give a talk, people come up and talk about it. So I'm better off calling. Now, I don't have time to call all our suspects. Brandon handles our suspects within our office. I'll show you that after a while. So I don't have time to do all these. But if we got a very serious one, I need to call them. I'm way better off calling them than emailing them. My chances would probably be 200% better if I called them than emailed them. Now, if you've got a great building and you want to show a virtual tour of it, you're better off emailing. So don't use this as the gospel. Don't use it as the gospel. Use it just to show you how much activity you really need to convert suspects. Remember me saying you got to do more than you think? Now, don't get overwhelmed. In a minute, we're going to talk about consultants and other projects that you don't need to do this. But if you're doing online marketing, if you've got suspects, this will likely work for you. So with each call or email, you do want to make them repetitive, but you want to change them slightly. You always want to educate them about your area, but you want it to be slightly different. So each time, it's not just the same thing over and over. So an example could be, your first call could be to somebody, and you could say, hey, so-and-so, I represent a building that's 2 hours from Chicago that is on a rail spur. Enough, you know, simple enough. Then you email them right after that. Then you call them back. Hey, I hope that you found my email. I'm that guy that represents that building near Chicago on the rail spur, and I forgot to tell you it has 30-foot ceilings. Wait 2 days, the next time you call them, add something else to it. Hey, I'm the guy with that tall ceilings and the rail spur near Chicago, and I wanted to let you know I've got two people looking at it that might be competitors of yours. You probably ought to look at it quick. Next day, you add something else to the puzzle. Hey, I'm that guy with that building near Chicago, tall ceilings, rail spur, wanted you to know we got 20 dock doors. See, you're always adding a little bit to it, but you're keeping the same repetitive message. You're just varying it up slightly as you go. When do you stop this plan? I would say never. Every suspect you have, run through this one time. If they're hit your website or you've got word of mouth knowledge that they're looking at your area or they're opening your emails, let this whole system run once. Then every 30 days, call or email them. Simple as that. You may hear from them 3 years later. So never stop it till they tell you to leave them alone. And eventually, they may very well tell you to leave them alone. Now, if it is a just perfect prospect for you, I mean the exact top company that you want to recruit, this trick has worked for us over and over again. I could argue I wouldn't be sitting right here right now without this trick. We built our business over this trick, and this is it. If you want to meet with a company, what you need to do is communicate to them via email, LinkedIn, or phone message. And let me go back. If you've added them on LinkedIn, some of these messages can be LinkedIn. Doesn't have to always be email. Some of these phone messages can be LinkedIn. So use some common sense here with this system. But let this be kind of your calendar guide, if that makes any sense. So if you want to meet with somebody, you email them, you LinkedIn them, you call them, whatever, and you let them know, hey, I am that guy with that building near Chicago with the tall ceilings and the rail and 20 dock doors, and I'm going to happen to be in your area the week of August 4th to 10th at a conference, whatever, on other business. And while I'm there, I'd like to spend 15 minutes with you if that's all right. Do you have 15 minutes that I can visit with you? This psychologically increases your odds of getting meetings immensely because people are just more likely to meet with you. It takes the pressure off. They're now not saying, well, what does this person expect? If I meet with them, they're going to expect me to do this or that or the other. Now they expect nothing. Now they think this person's in my area. I might as well meet with them. It totally takes the pressure off. We have used this trick over and over again. I got this trick from a book called Never Eat Alone. We built our business off of it. We absolutely built our business off of it. So you can use this all the time. Then we end up making sure it's not a lie. If I'm going to Chicago to see a company, then I see everybody else I know around there. So I do end up making a trip out of it. I just reverse engineer the thing backwards. So find a week far enough out that the person's probably not booked, 3 weeks out, 4 weeks out. Come up with some reason you're going to be in that area and let them know. Call them, email them, LinkedIn them. Let them know that you want to meet with them in person. If you want to have a Zoom meeting or a call with them, give them control of your calendar. This works very well for us. We use a technology called Calendly, Calendly.com. We put this right in our email. So when we send one of these emails, say right here, We'll have a link within this email that says, hey, we have a building in Chicago, 30-foot ceilings, 20 dock doors, all the stuff I've already said, blah, blah, blah. We would love 15 minutes to tell you about it. Here's a link to our calendar. You pick the best 15 minutes for you. You're totally given the person control of when they want to meet with you, when they want to talk with you. Now, we do this all the time. We get meetings all the time this way. So this is a link to my calendar if you click on it. Now, notice, I block out Thursday and Friday. I don't let suspects meet with me on Thursdays and Fridays. Thursdays and Fridays, I'm doing other work. I don't let suspects meet with me then. Notice, I don't let suspects meet with me before 12 and after 2:30 or 3. So over here, the only times they can book. So while I'm giving them control, I am still controlling when I want to meet with suspects, because I have to deal with real prospects. I have to deal with clients all the time. I can't be talking to suspects so much that we don't get our work done. So this is how I sort of block time for the suspects, if that makes any sense. This will show you the probability of your calls getting answered. 48% chance, so less than 50% somebody answers the first time. It goes to 81% if you call them 3 times. It goes to 93% if you call somebody 6 times. So if you think back, hey, so-and-so, I'm going to be in your area in 2 weeks. I'd like to meet with you. I've got this tall building. You need to know about it. Hey, so-and-so, I would like a 15-minute call with you. I've got this tall building. You need to know about it. Here's a link to my calendar. If you call them 6 times, you've got more than a 90% chance they're going to answer. Now, if they tell you, I'm not interested, leave me alone, that's fine. Get rid of them. At any time, you may have 100 suspects. Right now in our company, we got 100 suspects, you know, people who I think might one day do business with us. So the quicker they tell us no, the better. We focus our time on somebody. I'd rather them tell us no right here. But look, from the first time you call them, you got a 48%. Second time is 65%. You go over the 50% threshold if you just call somebody 2 times. What are the best days to call people and email them? Both are Wednesday and Thursday. So what you should do, if you just want to dip your toe in this, block some time for yourself on Wednesdays and Thursdays to do your follow-up with suspects, 2 or 3 hours. That's what I do. I block time. Block time with them so that you can go in there and do all your follow-ups. So here you will see both calls and emails are more likely to get a response on Wednesdays or Thursdays. Here is the best time to call an email. And you'll notice this is an inverse relationship. So the time people check their emails most are early, or late in the afternoon. So for the yellow is the email line. So from 12 to 4 is when you want to email people. They're more likely to open it from 12 to 4. When do you want to call people? First thing in the morning, late in the afternoon. You're not going to get them on phone in the day. So if you're calling people, call them from 8 to 9 in the morning, from 4 to 5 in the afternoon. If you're email them from 12 to 4. It's going to be your best bets. And then do both of those on Wednesday and Thursday, and you'll have an even better bet. So what you want to do is just set up systems for yourself. Block time for yourself where you can sit and do this. So every time you contact somebody through the suspect model, you want to give them more information, more valuable information. Keep giving them more information. Don't just call them, say, I'm checking in. Always ask for something. Can we Zoom? Can I meet with you? Can I send you something on my labor? Can I send you something on my building? Blah, blah, blah. Always ask for something. It's quick and easy for the person to say yes to. Always. So focus on them and their industry. Talk about their pain points and always ask them for something. What are good things to follow up with during those 10 touches? Plant closures, new industry, incentives, labor force, videos, podcasts, testimonials, news on industrial parks and buildings, and using time as leverage. You can always say, I've got somebody looking at this building. If you're interested, you need to come look at it quick. I've got something else going on. Use time as leverage. Now, remember, with suspects, we're about to get into the real prospects, but with suspects, this is all a numbers game. You want thousands of suspects. You want this system working like a machine for you thousands of times. Stay unemotional. If somebody cusses you out and says, take me off your list, take them off your list and be glad. Now you don't have to fool with them anymore. Remember, this is strictly a numbers game. Now, when you have consultant-driven prospects, you don't want to annoy them. So let's put away what we just discussed. Now we're going to talk about consultant-driven prospects. So these are projects that have sent you an RFI from a consultant that came straight to you, not through the state or utility. You're going to work a lot of projects that come through the state or utility from consultants. We're going to talk about that in number three. This is if a consultant reached out to you directly, how do you follow up with them? First thing, throw this away. The sales follow-up stats, throw this away. You don't want to annoy a consultant because a consultant can bring you multiple deals. If that consultant likes you, I've won many deals from this, losing a deal first, but they liked us. They got to know our incentives. They got to know our labor, our buildings, our community. They brought us other deals. So you don't want to be annoying. Forget all of this right here when you're dealing with consultants. Now, some of this is going to be repetitive. Should you add the consultant on LinkedIn? Absolutely. 90% chance that consultant will accept your invitation. And you don't need to email them on LinkedIn or message them on LinkedIn. But by adding them, they're then going to see your updates as you put them out and so forth. I recommend giving consultant access to your calendar. Put that right in your RFP or when you respond to them. Consultants love having control. Lord knows y'all know they do. Tell the consultant, as you're scoring our RFP or as you're looking at it, if you need anything, here's access to my calendar. You can pick a time to talk to me. I'll send you whatever it is that you need. When should you proactively call or email the consultant outside of responding to a question? So they send you an RFI. You answer it, of course. Now, let's say it's been off 2 or 3 weeks. You hadn't heard from them. You're starting to get antsy. When should you proactively call or email them? Well, the answer is whenever you can provide new and valuable information via data. Consultants are data-driven people. So anytime you have new data, and you can look for it to give yourself a reason to contact them, anytime you have new data, that's something you can try to reach out to consultants about. What would good data be that a consultant would want to know? Plant closure, landing new industry, new incentives, labor force changes. If you've got anything changing with your industrial builder or park, are using time as leverage. I once landed a deal that was represented by a consultant, and we had a mayor's race coming up in November, and I could tell this project was going to drag it out. I thought we were going to win, but I could tell they were dragging their feet. And so in late September, I told them, I said, if this deal's not finished a week before our mayor's race, so our mayor can claim credit for this and get in the paper and all, we pulling all incentives, this deal is over. And I don't know if they, you know, they act like they didn't believe me. I said, just try me. This deal is over. I'm going to give you a day. It was October 28th or something, you know, a week before the election. At 5 o'clock, and if this deal isn't done, we put in all the incentives. So let's get it done right now. I swear to you, the client signed on the dotted line at 4:59, the day of my deadline. We use time as leverage. So you could certainly let a consultant know that. If you want to talk to a consultant, you can use the same strategy of getting in-person meetings. Now, don't do this too often. We'll put in here in a minute how often you can do this. But many consultants are in Atlanta, Chicago, Dallas, Greenville, wherever. You can always say, hey, I'm going to be in Atlanta on other business. I know we're working that project with you. Can I buy you lunch while I'm there? Can I have 15 minutes with you while I am there? And chances are they will say yes. Now, you don't want to go in this thing and start pushing for the deal, but, you know, this is a chance for you to sit and talk with a consultant, get information you might not can get otherwise. This will work. I use this trick many times. This will work more than 50% of the time with consultants, so certainly feel free to use it. This is a statistic that I think you ought to consider with a consultant, and I actually said this last year, and I got laughed at, and then I didn't find this statistic till we put this presentation together, but look at this. 20% of emails get opened. 98% of texts get opened. So last year I spoke at the Mid-America Economic Development event. They had 8 or 9 site selectors on this panel. And somebody asked, how do y'all like to be communicated with? And every one of them said, oh, email me, call me, whatever. It got to me. I said, I like to be texted. I don't open half my emails. If I looked at my phone, I've left it over there, I'd look right now. I've got 1,000 emails I hadn't opened. I don't have many texts. If you text me, chances are I'm going to answer you back. And this right here shows that that's the average American. 98% of texts get open, only 20% of emails get open. I said that, and one of the consultants, he was an older gentleman from Chicago, he laughed. He thought, I don't want people texting me. Well, I'm just being honest. If you text me, you're going to have a lot better chance of me getting with you quickly than an email. Now, you don't want to text your consultant too much by any means, but if you can find something to start a text conversation, don't just out of the blue text something randomly. But think about it. If you can get yourself a text conversation going, that consultant's going to communicate with you a lot. So, assuming you have new and valuable information to share with the consultant, not just checking in, you have data that you can share with that consultant, how often should you initiate contact with a consultant? So, obviously, answer the consultant if they call you or email you. But if you're sitting there a month and hadn't heard from them and wonder what's going on, how do you initiate contact with them? First, you have some kind of new data that you want to share with them. I would say no more than once every 2 weeks by email, no more than once a month by text. Now, again, if they text you back, keep texting them. I'm talking about if you hadn't heard from them. No more than once every 2 months by phone, and use the in-person trick no more than once every 6 months. If you claim I'm going to be in Atlanta every other week to try to meet with them, they're going to catch on to that real quick. So I'd say once every 6 months. And then if you got something personal, once a quarter, if you know their birthday, if you know their favorite team won a big game, you know, their kid graduated college, whatever, then you can obviously reach out for that to try to build a rapport. Text message would be best, but if they don't answer you back or they're short, don't sit there and keep texting them. But this would be my recommendation. And always have something new to offer through here. Consultants, you never know why their project is cold if you hadn't heard from them in a while. We've got a client right now just changed CEOs. The new CEO's got a totally different mindset of where we're going to go. And that's fine with us. They're still paying us. But it's totally changed all our models. So you just never know why a prospect goes cold and why you might want to use some of these tactics. But never be annoying. We've been very conservative with these. If you use this, you won't annoy the consultant. When you lose, this is something that we do that works for us. And I got this trick when I was actually in Kentucky. I did economic development in Kentucky. So with consultants, not with suspects now, but with consultants, anytime we lost a deal, we would send them a signed basketball poster from John Calipari that said something like, "We don't just recruit basketball players in Kentucky," and thanked them. If it was a really good project, we'd even send them a bottle of bourbon. In New Orleans, what we do right now, every time we lose a deal that we really wanted, we send this little beignet Cafe Du Monde coffee gift basket to people. We never spend more than $50. People will feel guilty if you send them a $200 something. But we do this right now within our company. Every time we lose a deal that's something that we want in the future, we send the gift basket and say we're honored to have had the chance to compete for your project. To show our appreciation, we want to share a small piece of our culture with you. We hope we're afforded the opportunity to work with you again in the near future. Now, do we send these every time we lose a deal? No. No, we're not going to waste our $50 every time we lose a deal. But if we lose a deal that we really wanted or build a rapport with somebody that we wanted next time, we do executive searches. You know, these things turn over every 4 or 5 years. If we finish second and we want that thing 5 years from now, heck yeah, we'll send them a Cafe Du Monde. So you can certainly do this with site consultants. So think of something in your town. Don't spend a bunch of money on it. Wait till you lose. It shows class. That consultant's going to think of you next time, the next time that they've got a project. This shows class. Don't do it when you're trying to recruit them. They may feel guilty over that. I can't accept gifts. Do it when you lose. Chances are you're going to put yourself in line later on. This works for Next Move Group, and it worked for us when I was in Paducah, Kentucky, doing economic development. Now let's talk about following up with projects being led by the state or power company in which you've received an RFI. So in this instance, let's say that a consultant sends an RFI to the state or power company, then they send it to you. So even though it's being worked by a consultant, you need to work through the power company or the state. See, so that's the difference in number two and number three as we get into this follow-up. So it's the very same way. Forget these follow-up statistics. You don't want to annoy the state or power company because they're going to have many other deals they can bring you in the future. But I always would say, give them access to your calendar through the trick we've said before. tell them right out of the bat, states and utilities love having control as well. They're kind of like side consultants. Tell them right out of the bat, here's my calendar. If something in our RFP doesn't make sense, you can't get an attachment to work right, whatever, you go in here, you can find any convenient time that you want to talk to me. So when should you follow up with the state or power company if you hadn't heard from them? Well, you can follow up with them more than consulting because they're paid to help you. They're paid to represent you. You're in their area, but you still don't want to annoy them. So almost like the consultant, what are good items to follow up with anytime you have something you want them to know? Plant closure, new industry, new incentive, labor force change, videos, podcasts, testimonials, new industrial park, and so forth. That's how you want to follow up with the state or power company. The trick works here just as well. Obviously, your state or power company, you're probably not going to have to trick them to meet with you, but sometimes you may. I know some people whose power company is way, 6 hours away from them as far as the headquarters of the power company. So they may have to use this trick to get in with them. Hey, I'm going to be in your area. For them, don't give them a whole week. They'll see through that. Give them a 2 or 3 day period. I'm going to be in your area. If you're not hearing from them or you think there's a problem or you want to know something, you use this trick. I'm going to be in your area. Can I see you for 15 minutes while I'm there? Sit down, talk to them in person. You can usually find out what's going on. Keep this in mind. 98% of texts are open. Only 20% of emails are open. We strongly recommend developing a texting relationship with the project manager. Now, that again, I don't mean text them all day, every day. I don't mean text them silly stuff. I mean develop a rapport where you're texting back and forth, you know, 2 or 3 times a week. 2 or 3 times a week. They're going to open text more, and you're going to develop a communication with them. So how often is too often to communicate with them to where, you know, you get yourself, you don't want to annoy them. It's just like the site consultant. Assuming you have new stuff to say, and you should always have new stuff to say. If you're sitting there thinking, well, I never have anything new. No, always find something new. Find a new angle. Always, always find something new about your community. Assuming you find something new, and you should find something new about your town every day. Don't text them more than once a week, unless, of course, they text you back. And then you text them till the conversation dies. Don't email them more than once every 2 weeks about this project. If you're working multiple projects with them, that's fine. Again, this is you initiating. If they're emailing you, email them back, obviously. But as far as try not to annoy them. Don't call them more than once every 3 weeks about your project. And don't try your in-person trick more than once every 2 months. You can get away with this trick with them at least once every 2 months because usually you're close to them, so you got reasons to be in that area. Now, lastly, let's talk. And then I'm going to show you how Next Move Group handles all this for ourselves just to give you a visual. So now let's talk about prospects which you've generated directly. Maybe you've paid a lead generation firm to set you meetings. Maybe the prospect called you out of thin air. Somehow you generated the project. So you're not dealing with a consultant. You're not dealing with a state or utility. Maybe they're helping, but you're in charge of the project. You're not running through them. Maybe you brought them in to help you recruit them. These are the type of companies we want to talk about here. This takes you right back to what we talked about to start with. Not quite, but close. If you've generated the prospect yourself, let's say you paid a lead generation firm to set you meetings in Detroit and you meet 5 companies in Detroit. You go up there and you meet them. What do you want to do next? Start following up. Remember, 2% on the first time, 3% on the second. 80% of sales are made on the 5th to 12th contact. What do I figure is a sale for you getting a prospect visit? You might have to contact that company 5 to 12 times to get a prospect visit. It's okay to annoy these people. You don't want to annoy people who can bring you multiple projects. That's consultants, power companies, project managers at the state. That's who you don't want to annoy. These people that just have one project, you can annoy the devil out of them. If you land a deal, you're probably going to get a pay raise. So we recommend adding them on LinkedIn, then message them in LinkedIn. This way, they're always going to see your stuff. Then you need to be active on LinkedIn, putting your newsletters, your podcasts, your videos, and so forth on it. Give them control to your calendar, just like we said before. They would love that. Say, hey, glad to meet y'all. Anytime you want to know anything, here's a link. You can access my calendar, book a meeting whenever it is that you want it, and also use the in-person meeting trick. So let's say you pay a lead generation firm to set you meetings in Detroit, and then you had a good meeting, you emailed a time or two with a prospect, and they go cold on you. Well, next time you're close to Detroit, you call them and say, I'm going to be in Detroit this week. Can I have 15 minutes to visit with you, and always say, I got something new to tell you. I got a new building on the market. I got some labor. My college just graduated, 50 welder, whatever the case may be. Absolutely tell them that you've got something to tell them. If you want to call them, remember, call them three times, you got 81% chance to get them. One time, 48%. Six times, 93%. When do you want to call an email? Wednesdays and Thursdays. What time do you want to call an email? Call in the morning and afternoon, late, or email kind of in the middle of the day. What do you want to tell them when you email them? New information. This is repeating some of the other stuff. You got something new to tell them. Plant closure, new industry, new incentives, workforce, videos, podcasts, testimonials, new industrial park, vacant building. Time is leverage. Time is leverage. Time is leverage. When you get tired of fooling with them, if you're ready to make something happen, you come up with something to use time as leverage. Our budget ends September 30th. So if I'm going to do a deal with you in this fiscal year, I need to do it now. I'm just giving you an example of time as leverage. We've got an election, such and such day. My chairman rolls over December 31st. I'm not sure my next chairman is going to support this deal. We got to get it done before then. Whatever the case may be, use time as leverage. I got somebody else looking at the building, and they're in your industry. You don't want to miss this deal. Use time as leverage. Don't start out with it, but if you've emailed them five or six times, that's when to put in time as leverage. If they have actually visited you, I mean, you generated this prospect, you ought to be able to develop a texting relationship with them. Anytime you can develop a texting relationship with somebody, do it. For this statistic, 98% of texts are open, only 20% of emails are open. So how often should you reach out to these folks? You've already met them. Remember, you've generated this prospect. You've met them in their plant or they've come to your town. So you're not having to reach out to them quite as often. But how do you reach out to them without being annoying? By text, no more than once a week. But can you text them once a week? Absolutely. By email, no more than once every 2 weeks. By call, no more than once every 3 weeks. And do the in-person trick, no more than once every 3 months. The trick where you say, I'm going to be in Detroit. Can I see you while you're there? When do you stop following up with these? Never. Not until the prospect tells you yes or no. Now, you don't have to do the 20 touches in 10 days or the 10 touches in 20 days like we talked about with suspects. But with these people, always be contacting them. I'm going to show you how we do that in a minute. Until they tell you yes or no. And with these, we did this same thing back when I was in Kentucky. When we got a prospect to actually visit us, get on an airplane and fly to Paducah, Kentucky, we actually would give them a gift before they left us that day. We would give them the John Calipari signed basketball calendar. And we would give them a bottle of bourbon. We would usually tell them we'd ship it for them. You know, if they came on a plane, we'd have to ship it. But sometimes they would drive if they came to visit us in person. So this is the same trick. Something, don't spend more than $50, but give them something, a token of appreciation about your community to share your culture and say, we're honored to have had the chance to show you our community, show our appreciation. We want to share a small piece of our culture with you. We hope we're able with you this visit to work with you after this visit to earn your investment in our town. So send this to the consultants when you lose. But if you got a prospect you're working without a consultant, give them this gift when they visit you, when they visit your town, give them this gift. Remember, when you're dealing with prospects, you can annoy them. Stay unemotional. This is a numbers game. You want a bunch of prospects. You're not going to win them all. That's fine. Unlike the consultants in the state and utilities, you can annoy these people. So stay unemotional. Follow up, follow up, follow up, follow up till they tell you, leave me alone. And then don't get your feelings hurt. Just know it's all a numbers game. So now let me show you how we manage follow up at Next Move Group. So first of all, Brandon Nettles, you all seen him on some of our videos and whatnot. He's our vice president. He handles all of our suspects. So if you think back, those are people opening our emails, hitting our website. We've got intelligence they might want to do business with us. He handles all of that for us. He has set up a whole program that automatically emails people. He manages our Upwork call center to make sure people are getting called. Now, will he ever rise a suspect to the attention of me or Alex? Yes, he will. Sometimes he'll say, Chad, I need you to call this company. need you to find a referrer for this company. But by and large, he manages our suspects. We then keep an online database of our prospects. So Brandon manages our suspects. They're not a prospect yet. We keep an online database of prospects. These are real prospects that we have. We've submitted a proposal. They've told us they're interested. We visited about it. And we keep them up on a baseball system. You may say, well, what do you mean? Well, we organize them by on deck, prospects on first base, second base, third base, and home plate. So home plate would be deals we have done. So see this here, I put an example, exec search for Community G. So if we put them to home plate, they've signed a contract with us. Now we got to do the work. This then transfers them over to our work project management system. If they're on third base, this is exec search for Community F. That means they've told us they're going to do business with us, but we don't have a signed contract yet. If they're on second base, Community D or E, we formally submitted a proposal to them. That's what this means. They asked us for a proposal. We submitted it. If they're on first base, which I have here, Community A, B, C, they've told us they're interested. We're flirting with them, but we hadn't got a proposal to them yet for whatever the reason. So that's how we flow our projects. And so we'll flow them from first to second to third. You'll have some go from second back to first. Usually if you ever get to third, they don't go backwards. Once in a while they will, but we just move these back and forth at all times. This is how we keep up with all of our prospects. We have different, you know, prospect systems for executive searches, for site selection, and so forth, but this is how we keep up with all that. So then what I do every Sunday night, I go through every one of our prospects, every single one. I'm on the computer, and I get me a notebook out, an old-fashioned notebook, and I write one task for each prospect or zero. Sometimes I write zero if it's not time. I don't want to annoy them. Sometimes I'll write zero. So for here, maybe exec search Community F, I'm not going to make a list of 100 things to do for them. I'm going to write one thing. It may be call Community F about their proposal Tuesday. It's just that simple. Let's say that Community F told me, we're going to sign your contract, but our board doesn't meet for two more weeks. I'm going to put zero task, zero. So I review every single prospect every Sunday night and write down zero tasks or one. Now, one task may turn into 20 later on. I may have call Community E and then Community E ask me for something else and I got to go do it. But it's just that simple for me. One task for our prospects. Our suspects, I don't fool with. Brandon handles all that until he needs me. So I do this every single Sunday night. And then I task out, okay, Brandon, call Community F on Wednesday or whatever. I'm going to do this on Tuesday. So I'm making sure at all times our prospects are getting constant follow-up. When do I quit reaching out to Community A? Never, until they tell me that they're not interested. That's when I quit, once they tell me they're not interested. If that means we touch them 12, 13 times, then that's how many times we touch it. That's just how many times I follow up. We almost do it on a weekly basis. But sometimes we'll say we don't need to bother them this week. They told us they're not doing that for three more weeks or next month. Sometimes they'll say, call me in January. I'll reflect it here so I know not to bother them. We then block time to do all our follow-up in chunks. This is a real key for me. We block time to do our follow-up in chunks by this. What's the best days to email? Wednesday and Thursday. And when's the best time to call and email? This is when we like to block our time in chunks to handle our follow-up. Now, if I feel our prospect list is too light, let's say right here, whatever the reason, you know, we only got two prospects on first, second, or third base. Then I kind of freak out. I then can tell Brandon, Brandon, I need more suspects. We don't have enough prospects. You got to up the ante. You got to do more activity. Brandon, get us some more suspects. Now, Brandon, send him more emails. Call up more people. See, we can react. We can read and react. So I'm all every Sunday, I'm knowing how's our prospect base looking. So I can tell him, hey, we need more suspects. There has been occasion we've gotten so many clients that I never say quit looking for suspects ever. But I will gear back a little. I'll say, listen, we got to service these clients we have. So run your normal program, but don't push the accelerator this week. Let us get ourselves, you know, caught back up, if that makes any sense. So let's sort of end with the key ideas that we started with. Following up is more an art than science. Do you have to do any of this exactly like we said? No. It's more of an art than a science. Do you have to email them on day four, call them on day eight? No. Maybe you can LinkedIn them. Maybe you call them. you know, whatever the case, just know that you got to do it with frequency, especially for suspects and prospects you generate yourself. The more you do, the better you'll get at this. When I was in Mobile, Alabama, that's where I got my start. My first review I ever had, my boss told me there at the Mobile Chamber, he said, your strength is your follow-up. You're one of the best people to follow up I ever seen. So this just comes natural to me. It just comes natural to me. So sometimes when it comes natural to you, it's hard to tell your team. I tell this to our team all the time, and half the time I think they don't believe me. I'll say, you have got to call people 5 to 12 times. This statistic does not shock me. I've known it all my life. You didn't have to tell it to me. I've known it all my life. Most people don't, though. And so sometimes I get frustrated with them. Why'd you quit calling them? Well, they didn't answer my phone the first 3 times. Do it some more. Do it some more. The more you do this, the better you'll get at it. And you've got to remember, you must follow up more times than your gut might think. So as we conclude, think about your prospects 4 different ways. Are they suspects? You've got intelligence they're interested. Did a consultant bring it to you? Did a state or power company bring it to you? Or did you generate it directly? Think about that. Make a list of all your prospects and then figure out how you're going to follow up with them. But whatever you do, follow up. Don't not follow up, even if it's a consultant project. And you don't want to annoy them. If you hadn't heard from a consultant in 2 months and you thought you would, use the trick saying I'm going to be in your town. Email them, call them. Just don't do it so much that you annoy them. You'll get deals out of it later. And remember, the fortune is in the follow-up. Most people don't follow up enough. So if you just double your follow-up efforts after this, you're going to be more successful. If you triple them, you're going to be more successful. If you quadruple them, you'll probably be more successful, get a pay raise, and land a bunch of deals for your community. Thank you so much for watching this video.